3 is my text to start the message today. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delighteth in his, the man's way." The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the order of our steps. The order of our steps. We'll look at this another text today, and again, we're trying to weave our theme through many different areas of our life. Our theme this year is order. For those of you that are new, we're really glad that you came by today, and we believe in that the more we can put our lives in God's order, the more productive we will be, the more peace we'll have. And if you're here today without peace, it might be something's out of order in your life, especially salvation. You may have not come and taken the first step to knowing God and knowing peace, and that is believing on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So sometimes people don't have peace on the inside, and they have turmoil on the inside, or they're empty on the inside, or there's a void or vacuum inside of them, and they're trying a whole lot of different things in life, hoping those things will bring them peace, like money and the things of this world. And maybe if they could just buy this, or maybe if I could just have this boyfriend or this girlfriend or marry this man or this woman, that'll bring me peace. And maybe if I got this job or this career or this degree, that'll bring peace into my life. That's not true. It's not true. But Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." But we have to do things in God's order, and that's the first thing, is to come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that'll bring peace to you, and it'll be the greatest thing. Now, that's not my message, but if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to strongly encourage you to consider His claims. Consider His claims. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's quite a claim to make. It's either completely true or completely false. There's no middle ground on that claim. But if you'll come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, He is the way to heaven. And that will start to get your life in the order God wants it to be in, and that'll bring peace to you. But I want to talk to those of you that know the Lord as your Savior today. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that God's going to speak to you audibly and say, you know, Art, take your right foot and put it about 18 inches in front of your left foot. Now take your left foot and put it 18 inches in front of your right foot. And that doesn't mean that. Okay, when we're talking about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the word steps here is referring to decisions or choices that we make in our lives. Decisions and choices that we make in our lives are very, very important because there are corresponding consequences that go with every choice we make and every decision we make. You can make your own decisions. I can make my own decisions. You and I can make our own choices, but we can't control the consequences. We can't control the consequences of those choices. And you've all seen people make wrong choices and some of the horrific consequences that they have paid, perhaps even for the rest of their life, in maybe a choice or decision they made in a minute or two or 5 minutes. And the rest of their life was altered by the choices that they made. Now, wouldn't it be nice then, that being true, if the Lord would be the one who would order your choices and your decisions? Because He makes no mistake. He is perfect. He knows the future. How many of you know the future? I don't know the future. But I know one who knows the future. And He knows how to help me with my decisions today and with the choices that I make today. And He knows that if I can follow His orders in the decisions and the choices I make today, that the consequences will go well for me in the future. Now, he's worth following, if that be true. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And so the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He knows better for me. His plan is better than my plan. His will is better than my will. The consequences, the rewards of the future are better in his plan than mine. Now, this is a qualified statement here. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Notice the qualification. This is a conditional promise. This is not to all of us. This is a conditional promise or a qualified statement. The qualifier is the word good. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It doesn't say the steps of a bad man or a bad woman are ordered by the Lord. They have no right to make that claim. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, or a good woman. Her steps are ordered by the Lord. Now, there are good men and there are good women. I hope that you're one of them. That doesn't mean a person goes around in pride and talks about how good they are. No, it just means that as much as they know how, as they have been walking in the Lord, they have been trying to do that which is right in God's eyes. It doesn't mean they've never sinned. It doesn't mean they stopped sinning. It doesn't mean there aren't struggles that they have with flesh and passions and so on. But that means that there are men and that there are women who can with confidence get on their knees in prayer or lift up their eyes to heaven and say, Lord, as far as I know, I'm trying to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. I'm trying to read and study your word. I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to love you and to love my neighbors. And I'm trying to serve you. And I've tried to discover my gift and my calling. And I'm trying to use that in your body, your church, to help others. And I'm trying to win souls. And I'm trying to be a witness to people. And I'm trying to be in love with my wife or in love with my husband if you're married. And I'm trying to bring up my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord if you're a parent and so on. And as far as I know, Lord, I've tried to obey your commandments. There are some people that with confidence can say that. There are women that can say that and men that can say that. And I thank God there's a bunch of them in this room who can honestly, with a clear conscience, say, as far as I know, I am trying to do the things God has shown me to do. That'll benefit you in life. You know, we talk about conditional promises and qualified statements in the Bible. Here's one that kind of affects me. It says in 1 John 3 and verse 22, I'll read it, it says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, there's people today who are frustrated with God because God doesn't answer their prayers. There's some people who are bitter at God because he has not answered their prayers. He has not done what they have asked. But we must qualify that by first saying, have we done what he asked? Have we tried to do what he asked first before we go to him and start asking for things? So this is a qualified statement. The steps of a good man, a good woman, her steps are ordered by the Lord. Now this word ordered means to firm up, to stabilize, to establish. The Lord wants to help with each step of our life, each decision of our life, each choice of our life. Yes, the little ones, for sure, but also the big ones. I have noticed that back when I was 22 years of age, and I just laid my life down on the altar, lock, stock, and barrel, and said, Lord, from this day on, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm not going to live in sin anymore like I was, but I'm going to try to do your will. I'm going to try to obey your word. Now, I've noticed since that time, there have been very few mistakes in my life since then, and I turned 51 this week. There have been very, very few choices in that time that I have any regrets about. But I got a lot of regrets about choices I made before that when I was the one in charge. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord, when we let the Lord order our decisions and our choices, all of a sudden you start putting weeks and months and years together where you don't have any regrets. And he starts giving you the wisdom to do this right now, do this right now, do this right now, do this right now, do this right now. Here's how you react in this situation. Here's how you act, and so on and so forth. And boy, I'll tell you, when we talk about how order brings peace to a life, that's an illustration right there. Whereas he starts to establish our purposes, starts to stabilize us, starts to firm us up, you don't have that many times anymore where you say, boy, I regret doing that. Boy, that wasn't very smart. Now, the rest of the verse goes on and says, and he delighteth in his way. God himself gets delight from the way of a man or a woman who is a good man or a good woman who allows the Lord to order their steps. That then brings delight to God. Of course, the word delighteth here means to get pleasure from. It gives God pleasure to see a man or a woman walk in God's way and God's will for their life. And as they do that, I think it gives God pleasure because that person, man or woman, then shows the world that God's way still works today. When people don't think the Bible is relevant anymore, there's a lot of people who are showing the world that it is relevant, and it still works today for anybody who allows the Lord to order their steps. Now, I want to give you three ways that he orders our steps here, if you're a note taker. And I want to just try to help you. Now, there's probably more than three ways, but I'd like to give you three ways so that you can live a life that God would delight in. By the way, the word delight not only means that it gives him pleasure, but it also means favor. Sometimes the word delight here from the Hebrew word is translated favor. He gives favor towards the person who takes their orders for life from God. He will then show them divine favor. Now, how many of you would like to live with a cloud of divine favor over you all the time? That'd be a wonderful thing. In every way, just God just does things for you. I hear some of your testimonies. It blesses my heart. God did this for me. God did this for me. God did this. God provided this. God gave me this, and so on and so forth. And you live under the constant favor of the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. Some of you think he's against you all the time. Nothing goes right. You know what? Maybe he's against you. You know, the old saying, if the cat don't like it, you know, rubbing your fur the wrong way, turn the cat around. Turn the cat around. And it's the same thing in life. You don't like the way God's rubbing you, turn around. Go with him. And I don't care who you are, you can start living a life of God's divine favor on you. You know, there was a guy who did this literally. His name was Abraham back in Genesis 12. The Lord said, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. I want you to leave your father, Terah. I don't like him anymore. He's serving all them false gods and demons. You need to get away from him because I'm going to use you to build a great nation someday. So you need to get out of there. Take your wife with you. And so he leaves Ur of the Chaldees, and we find out later in the Bible he went out not knowing whither he went. But he went out because his steps were ordered by the Lord. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delighteth in his way. And you watch Abraham's way, God delighted in his way. In fact, God came down to earth in three persons once in Genesis chapter number 18, and Abraham said, if I have now found favor with the Lord, come into my house. And guess what they did? They went in his house. The presence of the Trinity. Why? Because Abraham found favor. God wanted to be in his house. And it's because he let the Lord order his steps. He could have said, I'm not leaving Ur of the Chaldees. This is the most glorious spot on earth right now. My wife likes it here. We have everything. But he said, honey, we got to go. Where are we going? I have no idea. We're just taking our tent and going. And Sarah was a good wife. 1 Peter 3:6 says she was a great wife. And she followed Abraham, and the favor of God, like a cloud, went over Abraham wherever he went. You don't have to be afraid of where God's going to lead you. God's favor is over you. He delights in his way. God delights in the way of a man or a woman who tries to be a good man or a good woman and says, Lord, I want you to order my steps right now because the decisions I've been making haven't worked out so far. Now, I want to give you three ways that he orders our steps here. Number one is by the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans chapter number 8 and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us. Or this is one way where the Lord helps us with our steps. That is our decisions, our choices that we make. And by the way, it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is the Lord. And if you're not familiar with that doctrine of the Trinity, it says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. That's one of the greatest texts I know that tells us the Holy Spirit is God. And there's others, too, that I could show you. But that's not our subject. You understand today that God orders our steps by the Holy Ghost. Look at Romans 8 and verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, it says right here that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. And again, that's a qualified statement. It is further enhanced in Galatians, and I'll read this in chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Notice it's possible to live in the Spirit, that is to be saved, but not to walk in the Spirit. Sometime after you're saved, you've got to make a decision and say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to follow you. When this word walk is used, walk in the Spirit, it means to keep in step with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wants to lead you in the will of God. The will of God is better than your will for your life. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead you, and so he begins to take a walk, and it says, keep in step with the Holy Ghost. As he's walking, keep in step with him in your life. Too often we get up every morning, and the Holy Spirit wants to go this direction and says, okay, let's go get into the Bible right now. And somebody says, no, I got to read the newspaper because the news is important. After all, God wants me to be informed, doesn't he? And, okay, well, let's go this direction. Let's get on our knees and have some prayer time with God. And somebody says, well, no, I got to have my breakfast, man. I work a long time, and I got to have my breakfast. And like I said, the paper's there and so on and so forth. And I got to hear the radio report or watch Good Morning America or whatever else. And sometimes right from the beginning of the day, we're walking in two directions. The Bible says if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk, let us keep in step with the Holy Ghost throughout the day. The Holy Spirit may say, I want you to witness to this person over here. I hope you've heard that before. Man, that's a frightening thing when that happens. I want you to witness. I want you to give this person a gospel tract. I want you to try to bring up Christ with this person, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I want you to call this person, encourage this person. I want you to pray for this person. You know, the Holy Spirit, he'll keep you busy all day if you'll really walk in the Spirit. He'll help you be a good wife. He'll help you be a good husband, a good father, a good mother. He'll help you be a good kid at home. He'll help you be a good witness at school. He'll give you power. He'll guide you. I'm telling you something. He'll talk to you. And he'll help you. We went out to a church last Sunday night. and preached in Rochester, my wife and I, and I knew where I was going. I didn't need a map. And so off I went, and we had this cheap little map with us. And we got in the area, and we passed the area, and I said, there's supposed to be an exit here. There was no exit there. We got off, and somehow we caught a glimpse of a road, Lyle Avenue. I said, well, that's the road we need to be on right there. So we went up to the next exit. We got off there and made another right, came back to Lyle Avenue. The road, the church wasn't on Lyle Avenue. It was on Lyle Road. So we're going around the city. We left really early, so we get there about a half hour early and look around the church, the building, and see the pastor, talk to them, have some fellowship with them, and so on and so forth. Pretty soon we're downtown Rochester. I'm saying to my wife, I don't think he has a city church. I think he's out in the country here a little bit, and this isn't right here. You know, and I remember, I think all week long I was going to tell Pastor Seth, could you MapQuest this church for me so I can have a map? But I didn't need it because I knew where it was. You see. So finally I said to my wife, would you get on the phone and would you call the pastor? Here's the stationery and the address, the phone number's on there. Call him up. Tell him we're lost. And so she called the pastor, and then, make a long story short here, he's giving her directions on the phone. He said, I don't know, man, you're in the wrong direction. You're heading down towards Rochester, in the city. You got to be heading back towards Spencerport here. You need to turn around and stay on this road. Now, do you see a Tim Hortons? Yeah, I see a Tim Hortons. Go to the next block. You see a Home Depot? Yeah, I see a Home Depot. Make a right here, okay? Make a right here, okay? You're going to go up and so on. You're going to go through the Kodak factory. You're going, okay, I'm driving through the Kodak. Make a left here, all right? Make a left here. Now, the fifth building on the left is going to be the church, all right? And I'm pulling into the church. See, I got instructions from someone who knew more than I did. And see, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. He knows more than we do. He's God. He has all the wisdom there is. He knows how to order our steps. See, on the phone, literally, the pastor was ordering our steps last week to get to the church, and we got there at 7:07. Service started at 7, and some of you that know me know how much I hate being late for anything. I hate it. It's just one of my hatreds. I hate being late for anything. I'm just that type of guy. But we had to consult someone who knew more than I did after I had gotten lost. I had gotten lost. And maybe you've lost your way in life and you're a believer. You're saved, but you've just been driving all around. I don't need a map. You know, this is the map book right here. That's the map book right there. But we can consult the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I am messed up right now. Would you help me? Oh, Holy Spirit of God, would you help me? And he can start saying, well, you got to turn around. You're going in the wrong direction. You got to come back and do this and this and this and make this right and this left and so on and so forth so you can get to the right place. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I've said this before, but I got to move on. The Holy Spirit did not come to live inside of you because he didn't have anywhere else to go. If you or I were a holy God, the last place we want to be is inside of a human being. It's the filthiest place on earth. But he came inside of you and I to help us. Are you communing with him? Do you talk to the Holy Spirit? Do you pray to him like you pray to the Father, like you pray to the Son? Do you at times say, Holy Spirit, help me now to be a good husband when I get home? I don't know what my wife needs, but you know. Would you help me? Would you help me to be a good father when I get home? I don't know what my kids are going through, what they're thinking, but help me to be there for them. Help me to be a good employee today. Help me to be a good neighbor. Help me to help this family. They're going to lose a loved one this week. I went down to the hospital last night to the room there, and the loved one was dying, and there was about 16 people in the room. I said, oh, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say to people at a time like this. I just got my New Testament out, and he just showed me chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter to read to them about the gospel, about heaven, and to pray with them. And they were just tears everywhere. Oh, thank you, Pastor, for coming. That was so helpful. Thank you for being here. And I left there saying, boy, I didn't know what to say, but by the time I left there, God helped me. God helped me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Are you having a personal relationship? Do you talk to him? Do you commune with the Holy Ghost? Number two, sometimes parental or elder guidance can help. Number two, sometimes parental or elder guidance can help. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord uses the Holy Spirit sometimes to order our steps. Sometimes he uses parents or elders who are good Christians, counselors. The book of Proverbs says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It doesn't say in the multitude of opinions, there's safety. No, in the multitude of opinions, there's confusion. But if you'll find some counselors, that's some men and women who really know their Bible and really know their God, and ask them, what do you think about this decision I'm about ready to make? I'm aghast sometimes at how many of you make major decisions in your life and never ask a person. It says right here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps, notice this, shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now notice this right here. It says, if you listen to those of elders that you have that have learned the way of wisdom, verse 11, it says, then your step shall not be straightened. Now notice there's no G-H in that word straightened. When we think of the English word straightened with the G-H in it, we mean straightened. If I say go straight, you say go in a straight line. That's not this word here. In fact, it has nothing to do with this word. This word straightened is completely different from that word straightened. This word straightened means to be narrow, to be stressed, or to be in duress. There's a place down here in Panama Rocks, New York, called Fat Man's Misery. They got all these rocks down in Panama, and there's one that just gets down to about this thin. And they say, now don't go in this if you're claustrophobic and all that kind of stuff, because this path through the rocks is called Fat Man's Misery. That's what the word straighten means right here. It means to be narrow. Like Jesus said, straight is the gate that leads to heaven. S-T-R-A-I-T. That means there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. You have to be pressed in by Jesus Christ. But it says, in your life, your path will not be straightened if you listen to those elders of yours who have wisdom. That means you're not going to get to situations like this where you say, I don't know if I'm going to make it through here. I really feel pressured. I really feel under duress. I feel stressed. I don't know how to move. I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. The Bible says you won't have those experiences if you listen to the wise voices that God has sent your way. Verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy path shall not be straightened. You know what? If you'll listen to wisdom, you'll have liberty. You'll find his yoke is easy and his burden is light. A classic example would be finances. When you hear elders, moms and dads and pastors and telling you young people, save your money, 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 save your money. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. The Bible says a strong man retains riches. And so you listen to that wisdom and you save your money 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 and you save your money. And then comes time to buy a house and you've got a huge chunk of money to put on a modest house and your payments then are a lot lower than anybody else. And you're not going through financial life like this saying, boy, I got to do this for 30 years. Man, this mortgage is tough. Are we going to make it? Your path shall not be straightened. What a promise. Maybe you've never considered that promise before. But you'll have very little stress, very little duress in your life if you listen to counselors Have you ever seen a young person marry the wrong person? But they knew what they were doing. I'm not going to go to pastor and ask him what he thinks about this. I know what he's going to tell me. I'm not going to ask my dad or some Christian elder man or woman what they think. We're just going to get married because we're in love. And I'll say this till I die. It takes a whole lot more than love to make a marriage work. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. There's a whole lot of people in marriage today just like this. I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end. This is just pressure every day. It's duress. It's stress. But the man or the woman who listens to wisdom before they're married, amen? There's no stress in marriage. There's no duress. Their steps aren't straightened. They say, man, that's a good decision. Thank God I got some counsel. Last of all, the surest way to take right steps is by God's Word. Look over me right here. We put a new banner up a couple of weeks ago. I haven't referred to it yet. It's from Psalm 119, 133. It says, order my steps in your Word. That's what this whole year is going to be about. You name the subject, the Bible addresses it. You name it. Whatever it is you're facing, this is the most relevant book in the world. You young people, listen, this book works for today. This book works for today. It doesn't matter who you are. This book can help you. I don't care who you are. There is guidance in the Scriptures for boys and girls. There is guidance in the Scripture for teenagers. There is guidance in the Scriptures for young adults. There's guidance in the Scriptures for single people, divorced people, widows, widowers, senior citizens, virgins, fathers, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, husbands, wives, employees, employers, leaders, citizens, pastors, evangelists, ministers, missionaries, church members, military personnel, judges, women, men, prisoners, neighbors, sons, daughters, the unsaved, you name it, any kind of a person, there's something in the Bible that will help you. For whatever your age is. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, there's something in the Bible. It'll help you. This book can help anyone in this room today who's unsaved tell you exactly what to do. Take the next step in your life. I don't care who you are. I gave a little testimony earlier about the last almost 30 years of my life since I surrendered to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm going to let you order my steps from now on. It's been a wonderful thing with very, very little regrets. Very few wrong choices. But we have tried to order our steps in the Word of God. Listen, folks, if you're about ready to make a decision in your life and you can't take your finger like this and put it on a verse and say, that's why I'm doing it. Put it on a verse or on a doctrine or on a principle or on a related story, then I wouldn't do it if I were you. Because God orders our steps in His Word. Bible. And the wise man or the wise woman or the wise boy or the wise girl today is going to read the Bible and study the Bible and saturate their mind and their heart with the Word of God over and over and over again so God has something to work with because He orders our steps in His Word. Sunday morning preaching isn't enough. You need to have personal Bible study and reading in your own life. Leslie and I read through the book of Proverbs 72 consecutive times the first 6 years of our marriage at the kitchen table, either in the morning or the evening. We read a chapter out of Proverbs every day. At the end of the month, 31 times. There's 31 chapters we read through the book. The next month we went back and did it again. We did it again. We did it again. We did it for 6 consecutive years. 72 times we read through Proverbs together as a husband and a wife. That was the foundation of our marriage 28 years ago. Foundation. And if you could just familiarize yourself with the book of Proverbs, The whole Bible, but especially the book of Proverbs, you'll find you don't have to make many decisions in life. The Bible will make them for you. I remember it came time when we had children coming, little babies. And up come the issue, to spank or not to spank. The world says, no, don't do that, you're going to destroy your kids. The Bible says, rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The Bible says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul despair for his cry. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, very, 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 very early in life. So I said, I'm not going to listen to the world. I'm going to let God order my steps in that area. Now, there's a tremendous difference between abusing a child and spanking a child on the rear end. Tremendous difference. I hope you understand that. We did that. I don't regret that. Oh, I've seen a lot of parents regret not having disciplined their kids when they were young, having to take them for counsel in their teen years, having to give them all kinds of drugs and dope, having to get pins, petitions, just to live with their kids, seeing their kids end up in prisons. You know, you can get a half-inch wood dowel down at Ace Hardware for $1.15. Or you can wait till your kids are 18 or 20 and put them down here in the correctional facility and have the state of New York pay $40,000 or $45,000 a year per inmate to correct them. But not a lot of them come out of there corrected. I think the $1.15 and some wisdom from God's a little better plan. I remember reading Romans 13:8 once, and it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. I said, honey, we're going to get out of debt. We're going to stay out of debt, and I'm going to try, if possible, to die. And when you bury me and you look at me in the casket, I want people to say that man never owed a person a dime. They never owed a person a red cent. And that's where we live right now. Everything we have is paid off. Our house, our cars, everything. I got 2 credit cards. The balance on one is $0.00. The balance on the other is $0.00. We started giving God tithes and offerings and the first fruits. And he said, I'll fill your barns with plenty. You'll have enough. I said, okay, Lord. I don't know how I can give you 10% plus money to missions and so on, but that's what you said in your word. And I'm going to let you order my steps in your word. So, the only reason this church exists is because God led me once by the word. Oh, he could have used someone else and started another church. I'm sure he would have, maybe. But I got to looking in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31 someday and said, you know, there needs to be churches throughout every region. And I felt God call me, and others asked me if I'd be their pastor. And I said, okay, we'll do it. We'll see what try. I don't see how it could succeed. So I felt at first, I don't see why God would use me. But it has continued to this day, 25 years later. And it's helped a lot of people and blessed some people along the way. And I thank God for it. But the existence of this church was ordered by the Lord. There's so many other examples. I've run out of time. I got all kinds of examples on my notes here. Where I've seen some of you get your direction from the Bible, and you chose it, and as a result, good things have happened. Now, there's other ways, but I shared 3 things with you today. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Holy Spirit will lead you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then there's counselors who know the way of wisdom. They can help you, and if you'll follow what they're saying, your steps won't be straightened. You won't be stressed out. And then there's the Bible. There's the Bible. Saturate your mind and your heart with God's Word. Read it today. Now, you might read the Old Testament and say, what has that got to do with anything? I promise you, 5 years from now, you're going to be at a Y in the road of your life, and you're going to say, you know, that story in the Old Testament, that principle in the Old Testament, that law in the Old Testament, I see an application right here. And it helps me make this decision to go the right way. I saw what a man or a woman in the Old Testament went through. I never thought I'd be this old, but I see what they went through and the decision they made. And now I'm at that Y in the road, and this is what they did, and it worked out. God orders our steps in His Word. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer. Let's apply this today as we have a song of invitation and pray around this altar. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for help. Lord, I love everyone here, not as much as you do. But Lord, I believe that you have a will for every person's life in this room. And I believe if we could come to the point where you order our steps rather than our peers, rather than the world, but if we say, Lord, you're going to order my steps from now on, I believe those right choices and I believe those right decisions will produce a life of plenty and productivity and peace. And we won't be stressed out. We won't be straightened. Lord, help us, we pray. If those that are here don't know the Holy Ghost, I pray they'd come and begin to commune with thy Holy Ghost. Those making major decisions to get a multitude of counselors and talk to them. Those of us not in the Word, to get into the Word and start praying over it, applying it in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.